And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hate. Stop hating. Everybody hating.
Welcome back to Point of Contention. Five topics, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. I'm Zach Harper. We got Andrew Schlechter producing. Coming up on the show, KD's back. The play-in race in the Western Conference. Are you buying the Grizzlies? Joel Embiid doesn't want MVP, but he kind of does. And the Wizards are zarding. I also want to welcome those of you now watching on YouTube. If you haven't subscribed yet, the hell's wrong with you? Go subscribe. It's right. It's like one of those down there. Just click the thing and you subscribe. And then you get to watch us talk every single week. And don't forget to subscribe to The Bounce, the essential NBA email newsletter for free at theathletic.com/bounce. Today, March 30th, National Folding Laundry Day. Why that needs a day, I don't know. But Marcus, will you be folding laundry today?
Not today. Hell nah.
No?
But I do fold my laundry. Absolutely.
What kind of folder are you? Are you like
an awful one?
You're just basically rolling it up in a ball and like you know,
one,
yeah.
Two, three. It's a working stack, right?
I don't trust anyone who's a good folder.
Oh, well, then anyone who's worked retail is a good folder. Like, I'm a great folder because I worked retail, and that's just what you had to do.
If you have that excuse, so it's just then sure.
It's muscle memory at this point.
But if you haven't worked retail and you can really fold,
oh, a serial killer. Yeah,
I want to be that young man we see on the meme where he got the little kit set up and he's like, boom, boom, boom.
Oh, the folding board?
Yeah, yeah.
That's PEDs. That's cheating, man. You don't need real folders. It's also don't too need
much.
That board.
Also too much.
Real folders don't need that.
I'm trying to figure out though, like,
you should really just hang your stuff.
Exactly.
You should really just hang your stuff anyway. Yeah.
Hang my stuff.
Any t-shirt worth a damn is hung up in the closet. That's just how it is.
But you gotta fold the t-shirt underneath the t-shirt that's worth a damn.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Like, wait, fold the t-shirt.
You gotta have tears.
Yeah, you can't just have your like nipples all out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. You ain't got these problems.
So you wear undershirts.
I wear dry fur. I wear a dry fit shirt underneath a t-shirt.
Mm.
Unless I'm like somewhere hella hot, and I just wear the dry fit shirt.
All right, the t-shirt look.
Yeah. In this corner, man does not wear a t-shirt under the t-shirt. The most braggadocious Beantown bench warmer on a college team that went 2-23. He ran Celtics.
Hold on. 2-22. Give us.
Oh,
respect.
Sorry. My bad. He rides Celtics. He reps Kings. He still believes in. I don't know who's a white player in the tournament still. I don't know. Probably that big dude at FAU.
Donovan Klingon for UConn. Legit.
Oh, he's good. Yeah, that's gonna be a good matchup.
I don't think he fits the whole Aaron Kraft narrative though.
He's not quite as scrappy and gritty, but he's it still fits. Ride with him on Peloton at the Kid the God. It's Jay Sacramento King. Jay, who's gonna win the NCAA championship?
UConn.
Oh yeah, you're a UMass. UConn is person. Get out.
No,
of here.
I don't even like UConn, but they are far and away the best team left. Like, it's not even close. They are the best team left. San Diego State's the toughest team.
Yeah. You know who was so much better? Alabama. What happened? At home. They got their ass out of there.
You just wait.
Tough.
They're tough.
Throws the ball against the rim and then goes and rebounds it like they do. No one is running post-ups with 2 seconds left on the shot clock like they do. Final Four, baby.
This has to be the worst Final Four ever.
By far. Absolutely by far the worst one ever.
Like, CBS has to be just puking at the teams that made the Final Four.
If it's FAU versus Miami, this is going to be... no one outside of South Florida is going to care. And literally, in this no. corner, the most versatile media member the Bay Area has ever seen. Three books. Go buy them. Long titles. Just look for the books in the store with the longest titles possible. That's Marcus Thompson's books. He's the bro from Berkeley, the friend from Frisco. Frisco puts the sauce in Sausalito, the media in Alameda, the AO in Vallejo, the petty in Petaluma. He's the OG from Oakland. It's Marcus S. Thompson. Marcus, who do you have winning the NCAA tournament?
Yo, Zach, I am all over San Diego State.
That's Aztecs, baby. That's what we do.
They got not one, but two cats from Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, mm-hmm. like,
we know where to go.
We know what's happening. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
these are some thick dudes, by the way.
Like, that's worked well for Portland. Having a guy from Oakland has gotten Portland a lot of championships.
They're football players, man. It's football. It's guys who played football in high school, and then they got to college and like, well, you can't play on the football team, but can you catch a basketball?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. These are some bruising cats, man. They're just running people over.
Oh, literally, great,
it's all
great
it's Wainwright.
Every single one. They're too rough with us. Yeah, they're just. Wainwright, and no one's over 6'8". And the best player, Matt Bradley is the best player, and they don't get going until his bum ass gets taken out of the game. It's like, all right, he screwed up for 4 minutes. Get him out. All right, now we can play real basketball. That's just, it's the least skilled team I've seen.
That's going to win this tournament, man. This tournament ain't about talent.
Let's flip it on its head, man. Just flip it on its head. Like, all right, you want the NIL era? How about
this?
Let's go. Here's some ugly ass basketball. All right, banter checked. Schlag, start the clock. Who gets left out? The West playing picture becoming slightly more clear with the Jazz losing 4 in a row, but they're still only a game and a half out of the 10th spot. Dallas is between them at 11. Thunder are at 10. They're a half game behind the Lakers at 9. They're a half game behind the Pelicans at 8. And they're a game behind the Timberwolves at 7. The Warriors just ahead of Minnesota. There are 5 teams trying to squeeze into 4 spots. So who's going to be on the outside looking in? Lakers and Thunder have 3 games left with teams that won't make the postseason. The Wolves have 2 of those games. The Mavs won. Pelicans, nothing but postseason teams the rest of the way. So Marcus, who gets left out of the West play-in?
It's hard not to say the Pelicans, man. I mean, wow. Their schedule is foul.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Although the Mavs can't beat the Hornets, so, you know.
That, you know what? In the spirit of the NCAA tournament, that might be the actual answer, right? Like, it's not the teams who are good you worry about. It's those other teams. But, man, I mean, they won 5 in a row, and it resuscitated them for a bit. It was a defibrillator, but, man, this schedule is just, it's so... Like
it's brutal.
Where's the win? At Denver, home against the Clippers, home against the Kings, home against the Grizzlies, home against the Knicks, at Minnesota. Where's the win?
Damn, man. Yeah, that's tough.
they could get 2 at home, but like you can't go 2-4 down the stretch and get in. Like,
well,
I mean,
maybe.
I'm so done. Like expecting anything from the West. I hate it, man.
I really hate it. It's annoying. Oh my God! Someone just said, "Thank you, Utah, for finally losing some games."
Well, the entire West is just losing to the Hornets. The whole West is just losing to the Hornets with huge
Hornets
huge
will be the 4 seed in the West.
Implication. Like, how do you lose to the Hornets when you need to win a game to get into the playoffs or the play-in tournament?
It's tough.
I think the Mavs are out, though. I think they're out. There's something about that team that's just, it smells, man. It smells. And they've got a back-to-back coming up. I just don't buy that team. They don't want to make the play-in tournament. I think they want to go home.
Yeah, their schedule is not incredible.
Right? Yeah.
They got a road trip. They're on a road trip right now. They get Philly, Miami, Atlanta. They might take all those L's, and then they come home for the Kings. But they got the saving grace of the San Antonio Spurs to close the season. So if you need one, baby, Greg Popovich will deliver. Yeah.
If the Kings ever clinch, you know, Kings? Yeah. Not clinching lately. You know?
The Kings. It will be funny if it just takes them like a full week to clinch.
Yeah, and they're just on day three, matter of fact.
Thing, right? Yeah, it's
like Steph and Jordan Poole caught fire last night in the second half, and they're like, "Come on, man! Like all we needed was New Orleans to win this game, and we get to clinch."
It ain't happened.
Yeah, all they had to do was beat the Timberwolves. They couldn't clinch, but Oh, they probably clinched tonight, right?
Can we declare the Timberwolves are in, though?
Oh, like, yeah, they're not falling out. Yeah.
Bruh, that team is a problem.
They look pretty good.
They're a problem.
They look pretty good.
I am not ready to declare that yet. I am absolutely not ready to declare that yet.
That they're going to make the play-in?
I think they probably will make the play-in.
They're two games up on
Dallas. I'm certainly not
ready
to declare them a problem.
I'm not saying they're definitely getting them a problem. Look, they're playing really well lately.
Hey, if they get seven and go play Memphis, who you picking in that
series? No, I can't do another Memphis-Minnesota series.
Who you picking in that series?
That was so bad last year.
Memphis.
Right. Yeah, I'm taking Memphis, too.
That was bad in the best way last year. That was the most stupidly entertaining series.
I didn't look at that series and go, you know what the Wolves are missing? The Jazz. Like, I didn't look at that series last year and think, like, that'll fix it. Let's get the Jazz in the playoffs.
And maybe that's why it'll work.
Oh, two wrongs make a right? Is that what we're saying?
I don't know, man. Salt Lake is gone, so maybe they got a little edge to them now in Seattle.
So Pelicans are the least safe, right? Or Lakers, Thunder. I mean, the Thunder just dropped one to the Hornets. They shouldn't have done that. PJ Washington, lit them up.
Yeah, just looking at the schedules, I feel like.
I mean, the Pelicans are the least Pelicans safe. When you ran off, like, that schedule's awful.
Yeah, that's just bad. And then, I mean, Dallas doesn't have a great schedule, but also they're just imploding, right? Like, so. Yeah. Those might be the two least safe teams. And then we get to Oklahoma City, and the question is, like, I think they're in that position. It's like, do we really want to make the playoffs, though? Like, that Charlotte game felt like, maybe we don't, right? maybe we've done enough.
Yeah.
And now it's like, all right, let's go get this lottery pick.
Thunder has some tough games coming up, too. Phoenix, Golden State, Memphis. Memphis could be resting guys by then. That's the last game of the regular season, but still.
Yeah.
Like, that ain't easy.
No. It's going
to
be
I don't know. I just checked the Hornets schedule to see if they have any games left against play-in teams in the Western Conference. They do not. So,
oh, that's so good. Teams so they might get to be terrorize saved. The East. All right. Time for take two. KD returns. Kevin Durant set to make his return to the lineup tonight. Well, last night, by the time you're listening to this. For the Phoenix Suns against those Timberwolves, barring any unforeseen layup line slippage, he will finally make his home debut for the Suns. So give Kevin 7 games to get acclimated to his teammates before the playoffs. Their remaining schedule, home to the Wolves Wednesday night. They're home to Denver Friday night, at OKC on Sunday, home to San Antonio next Tuesday, home to Denver next Thursday, at the Lakers, and then home to the Clippers to close out the season. Durant has played 3 games for the Suns since the trade. 26 points, 69% from the field in those games. All Suns wins before that infamous layup line slip. The Suns currently 1 loss up on the Clippers for number 4 in the West. So, Jay, will these 7 games be enough to have you comfortably pick the Suns as the West favorite?
No. No.
Whoa.
I have decided on my West favorite. It is not Phoenix. This is a take I just decided promptly the other night.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, there it is.
And it was after.
Talk to us, kid. Talk to us.
It was after a brutal loss. So after the Warriors blew that game against Minnesota and Jordan Poole had the turnover on the final possession, that's when I decided the Warriors were back.
Mm.
Because here's why. Poole threw the ball away.
Said that too.
Poole threw the ball away. And you know what happened? The veterans didn't yell at him. Steph pointed at himself. He said, That's my bad. After the game, they asked Clay about Jordan Poole, and he pointed to the champions behind him. He said, he's a huge part of the championship.
Now,
they've decided to be a team
real
again.
Real talk, though. Did you know what he was pointing at? Because I was in there. We like, is there a banner somewhere? I didn't know what he was pointing at. Did you know?
Only because I saw like the up close version,
yeah. And he just started easy pointing behind. I'm like, what is he pointing at?
That's hilarious. Seriously, these dudes have been divided all year. Like the veterans versus Jordan Poole has been a thing this year, and after that loss, like which was a pretty crushing loss in the grand scheme of whether they're going to get the 6th seed, be in the play-in, whatever.
Yeah.
They were cool. And I just thought they're back on the same page. And then the next game, they fall behind by 17. Draymond does all sorts of Draymond stuff. And I think to myself, if they really are back, they are going to come back and have this second half where they just destroy the Pelicans.
Yeah.
And you know what happened?
Yeah.
They lit them up. Steph, that was a vintage Warriors half. Yeah. Steph went off. Poole went off. Draymond was incredible defensively. Kuminga was incredible defensively. Mm-hmm. Looney was just unbelievable on the boards. I'm buying this team. And obviously the Wiggins thing is a big factor, his absence right now, whether he comes back. But Kuminga, I'm telling you, man, Kuminga is a difference maker when he's locked in. Like, he just gives him an energy, some size, some athleticism. I'm in on the Warriors. They got me. They've caught me.
But just Draymond, I know he's skinny, but Brandon Ingram, not the guy. Brandon Ingram's ready to go at any point.
Brandon Ingram would have gotten mauled.
I don't know, man. He's ready to go.
He's ready. I don't think he was trying to go at Brandon Ingram.
I think
he likes Brandon Ingram.
Yeah, I think a lot, but I'm just saying, like, Brandon Ingram, anytime something's popped off with him or not, he's ready. Like, he's ready. Yeah, he's ready.
That was never going to escalate, though. It was just like a mildly hard foul. It was a mildly hard foul. Like, it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's just where the league is soft. I mean, that wasn't even a bad foul.
Yeah, it was just a little bit. Like, he wasn't in the air or anything. Just a little shoulder check, yeah.
I missed that.
Marcus, do you believe in the Suns? Are they the team to beat in the West? I know Jay just used that opportunity to talk about the Warriors, but...
I don't. I believe in KD. It's the rest of them that makes me worried. Like... It's just tough. Like, I could see the universe where they come in and KD's just like KD, and Devin Booker is Devin Booker. But I just think their problem, especially when you look at the teams they have to get through in the West, is their perimeter defense. They're relying on a lot of Josh Okogie. That's a lot of Josh, go get De'Aaron Fox. Josh, go get Steph Curry. Josh, go get Ja Morant. And it's like, at some point, Josh is going to need somebody else. And they gave away their perimeter defense to get Kevin Durant. So I could kind of see that burning them, but the best thing they got going for them is it's the Western Conference.
Hey, man, don't sleep on Torrey Craig. Don't sleep on Ish Wainwright.
Yeah, I'm sleeping. I'm sleeping on them guarding, like, elite NBA guards. Like, it's cool in the regular season. Yeah. But, like, hey, you get that matchup, it's tough. I understand what Jay is talking about with the Warriors, and I do feel like they've just got, it's got to line up too perfectly. Like if they get Phoenix the first round,
ooh,
and somehow they win that series,
mm-hmm,
what they got left for the second one?
That's tough for the West.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, that's tough for the West.
Like, they're gonna get in the series, and like if it's Memphis the first round. Like, now they're playing for, like, legacy. It's going to be, like, family lineage, right?
Yeah.
They're going to give it all they have, and I wonder what they'd have left after that.
Right.
Right? Like, so that's the big deal. But
if they knock off one of those teams, how much will they need left after that, honestly?
That's true, yeah. It's just, all right, we got to get
Denver's
to Denver at some point.
Yeah.
Denver's just going to, like, put up on the Ottoman. Like,
sweet
they're just
Denver,
waiting.
Sacramento. Like yeah, who else are they worried about if they get by the Grizzlies and the Suns?
Unless you got to get
one of them
the
in the first
Suns
round.
Yeah.
And then the Grizzlies, right? Like, can you imagine, like, that 1-2, just the emotional toll, not to mention, like, I'd half die with the lack of direct flights to Memphis. But
yeah, that's the real worry here.
that's the big concern. But is there a favorite in the West? Is there? It's probably got to be KD and the Suns because there's nobody else.
I mean,
else?
It's KD and the Suns from the betting odds, I believe. I mean, Denver's just like, maybe, like, Denver might be in this Milwaukee zone from 2021, right? Where we're just like, that team, whatever. And then they finally pulled together.
And then they go to win.
Yeah, absolutely. Then they finally pulled together and we have to pretend.
That could absolutely be the case.
Yeah.
No question.
I mean, because there's no one else. Like, who else
is there? It's
crazy. Just for the record, if that happens, I knew it was happening. I called it.
Oh, we all did. Yeah. I mean, that's what we're saying right now. Yeah, we called it.
We're looking at the one seed with the reigning two-time MVP.
That is run away with the West.
And we're just like, nope.
They're
playoff
number
fodder.
One seed of all time.
The Bucks with the two-time reigning MVP, Giannis. That's what happened, right? It's what happened. Like, it's set up to repeat history just over there in these old mountains up there. All right, let's take a quick break, fellas. When we come back, our favorite team, the Wizards.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And we're back. Take three. Wizards zinging their lottery odds. Tuesday night. Wizards without Bradley Beal, without Kyle Kuzma, absolutely dismantled the Celtics. 130 to 111 with a big night from Chris Stapps. Porzingis put up 32, 13, and 6. Such a big win. You'd think Wizards fans would be happy, right? Well, not so fast, guys. Wizards are 11th in the East, but 2.5 games back of the Bulls. Making the play-in is not impossible, but Wizards fans have been vocal about wanting better lottery positioning, probably because they don't want to end up with another Johnny Davis. Porzingis reacted to his post-game with our own Josh Robbins. Quote, honestly, it does make sense because we're in this situation. Of course, still a possibility to make the playoffs, but I understand the fans and their reaction. At the end, you can have some luck and draft lower and get good talent, but usually those guys that are the most talented are at the highest picks. So that's why teams do what they do. How are the Wizards as a franchise reacting to this? Well, Josh Robbins and Shams Charania reported Wednesday morning that they are in negotiations to extend Porzingis. The Wizards can offer up to 4 years and $180 million. Marcus, how much longer can the Wizards remain in NBA purgatory? And in general, those teams are stuck in the 7 to 12 range of the draft year after year. What should they do?
They should try to win. Like, I feel like it's better for the Wizards to get in the playoffs than to get the 12th pick instead of the
one of the most entertaining teams in basketball. I'm telling you.
I mean, just get there. I mean, Porzingis, I think he's played in one postseason, maybe two. Like, you're gonna commit to this guy? Get him in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, he's kind of hooping.
Yeah,
he's been great. Yeah.
You got players who you like, who you think are good. Get them in the playoffs. That's where you learn about what you got instead of this.
But their problem is they're not going to get to the playoffs. They're three games back of a play-in tournament.
Well, go down swinging then.
It's Chicago.
Like, it is Chicago.
Yeah, it's Chicago.
Come on, man.
Porzingis has played in 10 playoff games over two postseasons.
Yeah, you committing all that money to him and you don't know who he is. And, like, I just feel like you just need to – you need to win. Like, winners try to win. If you're going to invest in a team, it helps your young players.
Winners. They're not winners. No, I mean, they never have been.
No.
So then don't commit to any of them and start over.
Like, oh, I guess they didn't win the championship in the late 70s. Never have been.
But here's the thing.
Wes Unseld.
When I saw Shams' report.
Elvin Hayes.
That they were in extension talks with Porzingis and want to keep him and Kyle Kuzma, I was in tears. I was in tears, crying, laughing. Like, why? Didn't you just learn this with Bradley Beal? Like, you need to pick a direction, and your direction can't be just stay in 11th place or 10th place forever. At some point, you need to try something else.
With the play-in tournament, you're upset of a one seed.
And you just gonna wait for 16 years for your Kings season to happen? Like,
no, here's my thing, though. Here's my thing. If they were like Portland, where Portland during Dame's prime was like competing in the West, winning playoff series, winning 50 games, I get it. Keep your guy, try to build around him, see if you can make some tweaks. They haven't been that. They haven't won 50 games in like forever. They haven't
winning playoff series. he's won like Dave's won like three playoff series, like four playoffs.
He still went. He went to the Western Conference Finals one year. Bradley Beal and this core is not going to do anything. And I don't understand.
If adding a number 12 pick fixes that?
They just drafted Johnny Davis. I don't think they should focus on the draft.
Yeah,
like that's they're what I'm not saying. Good at that. Like,
you got. Do you like?
Are Kispert? They good at anything? What are they good at?
Like maybe Kispert? They just need to find like something Denny, good. Right? Do you like Kispert? Do you like Denny? Do you like
Yeah.
There you say, go. I'd rather you get nine games where you like. Let me see you try to make this. Let me see you fight.
Yo,
and now you make a decision on dudes instead of. I mean, you can't punt. You don't get better punting games.
Their last five first-round picks, Johnny Davis, Corey Kispert, Denny Avdia, Rui Hachimura, Troy Brown. They shouldn't focus on the draft.
Now let's name their last free agent signing. Like, let's do all their acquisitions because none of them are
you
good.
Know what? You know who keeps re-upping? Bradley Beal. He's back, baby. He keeps Brad saying, hey, back. Cash me out.
Brad is back.
Kendrick Nunn. There you go. Oh, DeLon Wright.
Kendrick Nunn.
Free agent signing. Boom. Good player.
DeLon Wright is good, man. That's a nice good backup player, point man. Guard. That's a nice backup point
good
guard.
Good player, man.
Yeah.
Monty Morris.
Mm-hmm. That's a good trade. Monty Morris. Just saying, hey, that lineup of Monty Morris, Bradley Beal, Kyle Kuzma, Kristaps Porzingis, Daniel Gafford is good. The problem is they don't have anybody else after that.
At some point, you got to realize, like, this isn't worth fighting for. Like, just give it up.
It's just too late. It's too late to do it now, though. Like, yeah. If you're going to do that, you should have been in the Wembanyama.
But I'm saying just the extension stuff is just, like, that's comical.
No,
Porzingis has been good. Like,
yeah. No, they should definitely get back to, like, the high lottery picks when they got Jan Vesely. Coming up after the break.
They might just be doomed, man. They're just doomed.
Coming up after the break.
Just send them to the G League.
To win MVP, can you think about the MVP award?
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Take four. Embiid not focused on the MVP. Our own Shams Charania sat down with Joel Embiid for a feature that dropped on The Athletic this week. In this piece, Embiid told Shams that he gave advice to Jason Tatum earlier this season on how to handle MVP pressure. Quote, last 2 years, I feel like I wasn't chasing MVP, but my mind was only thinking about it. That's why even at the beginning of the season when JT was going off and Boston was on this run, I told JT, if I got any advice for you, don't focus on MVP. Just focus on the right things, which is winning games and dominating. Whatever helps your team win, that's what you should do, and then everything else will take care of itself.
The guy who's never been to the finals told the guy who was in the finals.
Embiid goes on to say, quote, I'm not a two-time MVP. I've never made first-team All-NBA. I've never won anything. So why is there pressure on me to do something when there are guys that have won a bunch of MVPs and haven't done anything either?
Guys. Jay!
I don't want to win MVP. No, I mean, why would I want an MVP? I don't want that. Even if they gave it to me, I would give it back. Jay, what are your thoughts on Embiid's approach? And are we buying that he isn't focused on winning MVP this season?
This was the worst look ever. How are you out there saying you don't care about the MVP while you're throwing unprovoked shots? Mm-hmm. At the guy who's won the last two MVPs.
It's a race riot about to happen. What do you mean? Unprovoked.
Unprovoked shots at Nikola Jokic. I mean, he went into it.
The analytics, I don't get the analytics. Some of the worst defenders in the league are number one in analytics.
Like, come on, man. Just, this is such a bad look. If you care about the MVP, then care about it. And just say, I'm the best player in the league. I'm better than Jokic. He can't handle me. Like, just be straight up about it. But not naming him. And then just
and then ducking
berating
him.
The analytics, and then ducking him.
By the way, analytics love Joel Embiid. I don't understand this thing. Like, analytics love Joel Embiid. He's awesome.
Yeah. So he's do really MVP good. Voters. He's been second 2 years running.
Yeah.
There is no, like, grudge against Joel Embiid. And you know why there's pressure on you, pal? You know why there's pressure on you? Because you've never gotten out of the second round. Because last year you couldn't even come close to Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat.
Pal.
Because
Jay says
because
pal.
2 years ago.
Buckle up.
Because buddy. 2 years ago. I don't even remember saying pal. I'm in a rage right now. Because 2 years ago, you lost to the Hawks. You got beat by the Hawks in the playoffs. You've had now Jimmy Butler. You've had Al Horford. You've had Ben Simmons when Ben Simmons was good. And you haven't made the conference finals. That's why there's pressure on you, man. That's why there's pressure on you. That interview was pathetic. Just own up to it. You are an amazing player. You are the most dominant player in the world. And just own up to caring about it. Take shots. Call him by name. If you want to go this route, go it. Mm-hmm. Just lean into it. Don't say you don't care and then take shots at him. That's what got me. But it was great.
We got a clip, by the way, Schleck. This is this whole thing.
It was great that Jokic then followed up by being like, I just think
incredible.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so good.
It really was.
He's so good.
It was Ted Lasso. It was Ted Lasso.
It's so messed up.
It was Nate and Ted Lasso, Ted Lasso coming right back.
That is such good shit talking, right? It's like the stories of when people are like, oh, yeah, Tim Duncan is trash talk. Be like, good defense. Oh, you almost got that one. You know, it's so frustrating. That's great. Great response by Jokic.
That's his top shelf.
Oh, my God.
That is
yeah.
Top shelf. Oh, man. I love that. He's amazing. He's incredible. Like,
because you know what's funny? Like, Denver, like, the organization is like super. Like, you listen to the broadcast, right? Like, everything is like Jokic needs to win. Jokic is the MVP, obviously, blah, blah, blah. You got everybody saying it in Denver. But I genuinely believe that Jokic does not give a shit about this award. Like, just like, all right, cool. I want
and
it.
No.
That is wrong. That is wrong.
I genuinely think he doesn't give a shit.
After hearing people say that, I went back and read the story about when the entire Denver organization went to Serbia to present him with his second MVP trophy, and he started crying. And so he absolutely cares about MVPs.
Nah,
they went to Serbia to present it to him.
It was about them coming to Serbia.
Yeah, it was like showing
like,
the support.
Oh, y'all were there.
Yeah,
y'all
like, there. Oh, wow, you guys came here. It, like, he was just moved that they came out to check out his horses.
Like, either
like, that's
way,
what he
though,
was like,
if he doesn't care or if he really cares, but he's able to put this, like, either way, it's incredibly impressive, right?
Either
if he's
way.
Behind the scenes, if he's got a room full of, like, you know, like just propaganda and all this
stats
like, I better win. And that's and then he comes out and he does this.
He's like, oh, he's incredible.
This is get this dude an Oscar, man. This
yeah, no, man. Like
Joel has no idea what to do. He's like dying inside. He's trying to act like he's not. Meanwhile, Jokic just like, eh.
Yeah. Jokic's like, yeah, he's good, man.
He's like, right, he's like man, that guy's incredible.
Good. That guy should be MVP. Like he's good. Like
oh, he doesn't have an MVP yet?
Oh,
aww,
he didn't win MVP? Up, I don't know, man. He's pretty good. I think he did. You guys should go check that out. Just a perfect response by you.
Here's the crazy part. Like, and, you know, I hate this whole conversation about it being, like, race and all that stuff.
Race war.
It's very clear, like, America has this issue. But we're talking about MVP. But if Joel needs to understand, this stuff is partly why he doesn't win. It's because, like, there is a segment. It's probably more culture than race where it's like, you just like dudes who just go out and play. That's part of Jokic's charm. Man, that dude go out and play, gets buckets, he wins. He's not talking about it. Meanwhile, Embiid is out here, like, doing a national tour, like, campaigning, right? Like, I do think part of that works against him. People just want him to be like, yo, man. And then play in the game against them. Like, don't do all that and then drop 47.
It's not like, oh, it didn't go well the first. Yeah, no, 47 on them.
And I understand.
He killed him.
You could be like, I cook you every time.
That was the point where people were like, oh shit, Embiid's in this MVP thing. Like that really like kicked open the door.
But this is like, is that like, is this his version of like not going to the combine when you dominate? You're like, yeah.
I don't think let me leave you with the last one.
Let me leave you with the last time we played.
No, that's too long ago, man. This is a recency game. Like, that's too long ago. That was in January.
I do think people, like, I do think the show or the shtick of Joel Embiid works against them, right? Like, I do think it's like.
I like it.
I know, but a lot of people don't. A lot of people.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, a lot of people like this aura of he doesn't say anything. He just go and play. You know, he's not worried about it when, you know, Jokic probably does care, but it feels like he doesn't. And we like that because he doesn't even care. Whereas it's very clear now, Joel Embiid cares.
I don't mind people. You should want to care about that award. It's the ultimate individual award in the regular season, right? It's great to care, but this like 1 foot in, 1 foot out of caring, like you can't give all of those answers and then tell me you don't care.
He got asked, is this season championship or bust for you? And then use that question to take shots at Nikola Jokic. Like, it wasn't even close to being necessary. He just went out of his way. And he also asked, why do I have pressure? I've never won anything. Why the fuck do you think you have pressure? Because you've never won anything! Because
you lost to the Hawks. That's why you have pressure. Because you lost to the Hawks.
If he flipped and said, I don't care about this, I just want to win a championship, I think it'll go over much better with the voters.
Well, that's how you do it, right?
Yeah.
Not like, well, I don't care about this one. I mean, you know, I used to care about this one, but I don't care about this award. I mean, I really used to care about this one, but now I told Jason Tatum I don't care about the award. Like, what are you talking about? What does Jason Tatum have to do with this shit?
That is hilarious, by the way. Like, you going around dishing out MVP advice.
I love that. Hey, Marcus, let me know if you need some Pulitzer advice. All right, take five.
Let me tell you how to not to cave to the pressure. Hey,
I'll give you guys some Peabody Award advice. All right, I got you. After following up Ja Morant's infamous Instagram Live by completing a 3-game losing streak in early March, the Grizzlies appeared to be in shambles. The word of Lee Corso, not so fast, my friends. Memphis won 6 of its final 7 games during Morant's suspension. After his return, Grizzlies ran off another 4 straight entering Wednesday night's matchup with the Clippers, which obviously we're recording before, which Memphis may or may not have also won. Tune into the box score to find out. Depending on what happened after the recording of this podcast, Marcus, are you buying Memphis as a lurking playoff giant?
I do. I mean, they're a good team, man. They've been a good team for a while. And to me, what makes them impressive is if Ja sits out, they literally have an entire other way to play that's effective. And to me, that's playoff basketball. You play a team, you know, 7 times, you got to be able to find a new approach, a new attack. And they have it. Like, they can go tempo. They can go big, right? They can throw a front line of, well, they probably can't do it now, but Steven Adams, you know, JJJ.
They need him back, man.
I know, that's the part that hurt, especially after losing Brandon Clark. Like, they could go big, they could go small, they could go fast, they can shoot, they can get hot. Then they have the best penetrator in the game, perhaps, in Ja Morant. They just have multiple ways to attack. Mm-hmm. The question is composure, right? Have they learned how to be composed? Have they learned how to win? They didn't show it against Minnesota, and they lost the series against the Warriors because of the lack of it. So I don't know if you can show that in the regular season,
right?
But for me, that's the question. Like, can they have composure? They're still not a great road team, right? So it's not like we get to see that from them. But they have a lot of likable pieces as long as they have composure. And yes, I'm talking to you, Dylan Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
Who's shooting 38% over his last 11 games from 3, by the way?
Great.
He's hot.
That's hot, baby. He's on fire.
I bet that lasts.
There are two developments Memphis.
It boosted him to 32% on the season.
Ooh, look at that. Jesus.
That's good. That's good. There are two developments in Memphis.
Good for us.
Two developments in Memphis I think could really matter. One is their offense has been invincible when Luke Kennard and Desmond Bane share the court. Like, those are two of the very best shooters in the world.
I tried to tell you about that Luke Kennard acquisition. And you're like, when's he going to play?
He's playing, and when he and Bane are on the court, their offense becomes devastating. Not only a lot of shooting, but then you give space to Ja. Mm-hmm. Then you have space for Jaren Jackson, and that takes me to my second point. Jaren Jackson has leveled up.
Yes, he's leveled up.
Yeah. This dude is making plays off the bounce. He is
at the end of games too. They're going through him at the end of games. He's great.
He has reached another level in the middle of this season,
mm-hmm.
and that could really change them. Like, especially they're playing small and they're killing with small lineups with Jaren Jackson at center. He did foul out of his last game, but prior to that, hadn't fouled out I think in like a month.
Yeah.
So trending up in that direction. And just the offensive improvement there is he's become mighty at that end of the court, like just really doing a lot.
He's incredible, but he didn't foul out one time, but he's had five fouls in like a third of those games.
Yeah.
He's not fouling out.
He's incredible. He gets to finish the game.
He gets to finish, but they're like having these segments where he's out, right?
Like, he's like the Draymond of fouls. Like, Draymond gets a tech, and then he nearly kicks a dude in the face, and then, then he's screaming at the refs a little more.
Yep.
But he gets right to the edge. Jaren Jackson's kind of like that now.
Yeah.
It's a skill. I mean, he is like, that dude is tough, which is why him not being able to stay on the court is a problem. Like, he's played, 30 minutes, twice in the last 15 games. You got to be able to give me 35 minutes, bro. Like, you're 21 years old or something crazy. You're an incredible athlete. Like, you got to be on the floor.
Although. So
if he solves that, then they're a problem. If he solves that, that's tough.
No Steven Adams. Triple J gets in foul trouble. Opens the door for Kenny Lofton Jr.
Please give me some Kenny Lofton.
Get him on the court, man. He's a bucket. He is a bucket. No offense to Santi Aldama, who I love, who's one of my favorite role players. I need Kenneth Lofton Jr. I need him on the court, man.
Nothing for Kenneth Lofton Jr.
I think we all need Kenneth.
We do, man.
I think we all need. I just want to see him back to the basket in the playoff, baby. Let's
just
go.
Putting defenders in a torture rack, man. Just in the torture rack.
Roddy and Kenny Lofton next to each other.
Woo! That is some beef in there. That is some burly boys right there. Boy,
it's like a bouncer gang. Right?
It's going to be, I don't know if they'll go deep in the playoffs, but you can't get into that club without their say-so. I know that. That's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. If you're on YouTube, make sure you subscribe. Hit that little subscribe button somewhere down there.
Make sure you subscribe, pal.
Yeah, pal. Yeah, sport. Cut the malarkey. Make sure you subscribe to all the podcasts on the Athletic Podcast Network as well. Warriors Plus Minus, Anything Is Potable, Down to Dunk, No Dunks, Glue Guys, Sixers Beat, and The Bun and Cardigan Show. And I swear to God, if you do not subscribe to The Bounce, Marcus, don't ask what that is. If you don't subscribe to The Bounce, Jay King is coming to your house, and he is going to recite every white player he likes, and there's nothing you can do about it. For Jay King, for Marcus Thompson, for Andrew Schleich, I'm Zach Harper. See you next time on Point of Contention.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.